Chapter 136. Automatic Transmission Transaxle Unit Repair. Verify the need for unit repair. Verify the fault. It is not unusual for a transmission or transaxle to be removed from the vehicle when the fault could have been repaired with the unit still in the vehicle. Or the fault could be due to an electrical or engine-related fault outside the transmission transaxle. Check with all of the following to be sure that the unit needs to be removed from the vehicle. A knowledgeable technician. The archives at www.iatn.net. And a hotline service provider, such as Identifix. Use these resources to verify that the fault is inside, not outside, the unit. In vehicle repairs. Not all mechanical faults require that the automatic transmission transaxle be removed from the vehicle. Faults that can usually be repaired with the unit still in the vehicle include any valve body related concerns. See Figure 136-1. Depending on the transmission transaxle, it may be possible to disassemble and repair many mechanical components of the unit while it remains in the vehicle. Parts and components that may be replaced with the transmission transaxle still in the vehicle include pressure switches, transmission range switch, turbine and output speed sensors, extension housing gasket, drive axle seals, and valve body replacement. Check service information for details on what can be replaced. With the unit in the vehicle, identify the unit. Before removing the transmission transaxle for replacement or repair, be sure that the unit is properly identified. This identification is critical because of the following. Number 1. The final drive ratio in transaxles can vary depending on the application, and using the wrong unit can cause shifting and other issues such as gear ratio-related diagnostic trouble codes. Number 2. The internal gear ratios can vary depending on exact application of the unit. And number 3. Sometimes the vehicle identification number, VIN, is needed to obtain the correct parts, but more often the transmission/transaxle identification number, also called the tag number, is the identification needed to be assured of ordering and receiving the proper parts. See Figure 136-2. Removing the automatic transmission transaxle for service. Steps involved. Removing an automatic transmission transaxle from a vehicle includes many steps to avoid doing damage to the vehicle or personal harm. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended procedures. Most procedures include the following steps. Step 1. Disconnect the negative battery cable from the battery. This prevents the possibility of an accidental short circuit that could damage the vehicle or cause a spark that could start a fire. Step 2. Hoist the vehicle safely and drain the fluid from the unit. Step 3. Disconnect the drive shaft or drive axle shafts. Step 4. Disconnect all cooler lines, linkage, and electrical connections. Be sure to label each to ensure proper reinstallation. Also be sure to label all electrical connectors so that they can be reinstalled in the proper location. Step 5. Disconnect the torque converter from the flex, or, drive, plate of the engine. Step 6. Support the engine before disconnecting the automatic transmission transaxle. See Figure 136-3. Step 7. Remove the transmission transaxle mounting fasteners. Step 8. Support the transmission transaxle on a jack and remove the attaching bolts at the bell housing of the engine. See Figure 136-4. Step 9. Remove the transmission transaxle from the vehicle. Refer to Figure 136-1. Figure A, this Saturn did not shift correctly and one technician was ready to replace the unit. However, another technician thought that the problem could be due to a fault in the valve body. Figure B, removing the valve body shows the non-planetary gears used in the Saturn automatic transaxle. Figure C, the valve body was disassembled and a broken pressure regulator spring was found to be the cause of the customer concern. Refer to Figure 136-2. A transmission identification number on the side of the unit. The information on this tag is needed when ordering parts, as there are often several versions of the same transmission used in similar vehicles and the differences could affect the parts needed. Refer to Figure 136-3. A chain and holding fixture being used on this front-wheel drive vehicle to support the engine when the transaxle is removed. Automatic transmission transaxle disassembly. Mount a holding fixture. For best results, the automatic transmission transaxle should be attached to a holding fixture that allows the unit to be rotated yet properly supported during disassembly and reassembly. See Figure 136-5. Refer to Figure 136-4. A transaxle being supported by a transmission jack prior to removal of the unit from underneath the vehicle. Torque converter checks. Remove the torque converter and drain the fluid by tipping it so the fluid runs out into a suitable container. Check the torque converter for the following. Visually check for wetness that could indicate a leak, such as at the welded seam. Check for damage to the pump drive tags. Inspect the hub for seal and wear. Check that the one-way clutch of the stator is working. And check for end play of the stator. See Figure 136-6. Tech tip. After removing the transmission or transaxle, carefully inspect the flex plate for the following faults. Number 1. Cracks. Number 2. Warpage. And number 3. Stripped starter ring gear teeth. Tech tip. Replace the torque converter. Many automotive transmission transaxle experts recommend that the torque converter be replaced when the automatic transmission is rebuilt or replaced. This is because the torque converter is generally considered to be the garbage pit of the entire unit, and that it often collects wear particles from the clutches and bands that can cause future problems. According to remanufacturers of torque converters, the majority of the torque converters being returned as cores have little, if any, friction material remaining for the torque converter clutch. See Figure 136-7. Refer to Figure 136-5. A holding fixture makes working on a transmission easier. Refer to Figure 136-6. A special tool being used to check the end play of the stator inside the torque converter. Refer to Figure 136-7. A cutaway of the torque converter clutch showing the paper-thin friction material. Refer to Figure 136-8. A typical separator plate. Check holes over check balls to make sure that the metal balls have not caused damage to the separator plate during operation. Refer to Figure 136-9. Check that all valves are free to move, and look for signs that the valves have caused wear to the valve bore. This causes fluid to leak around the valves, which can also cause shifting problems. If the bore is found to be worn, then the valve body will require repair using specialized tools or replacement. Valve body. Remove the valve body and the internal electronic components found in many units. Before the valve body fasteners are removed, the following items need to be performed or checked. Number 1. Disconnect the manual valve linkage and rooster comb. Number 2. Carefully loosen the valve body bolts starting from the outside and working toward the center or help prevent distortion. Number 3. Remove the lower part of the valve body. Number 4. Remove the separator plate. See Figure 136-8. Number 5. Check and note the location of all check balls in the upper valve body. And number 6. Carefully check the operation of all shift valves by using a plastic tool or compressed air to move the valves in their bores. All valves should be free to move and should return to the home position by spring pressure. See Figure 136-9. To service a valve body, disassemble all the parts, identify them for reassembly, and check the valve body with a precision straight edge. Tech tip. The valve body cardboard trick to help remember where each bolt goes in the valve body, draw an outline of the valve body on cardboard and then stick the bolts through the cardboard in the position where they were removed. Often the lengths of the bolts are different, so this method saves time and helps prevent possible harm to the valve body of the case of the transmission transaxle when reassembling the unit. Refer to Figure 136-10. Two slide hammers are often used to remove a pump from older automatic transmissions. Pump assembly. Remove the pump assembly using the proper removal tool to avoid damaging it. Check the pump for wear by checking service information for the recommended procedure and specifications. See Figure 136-12. Unit disassembly. Before disassembly, measure input shaft end play. Some transmissions require the measurement of output shaft end play. Always check service information for the specified procedures to follow. The usual disassembly procedure includes: Number 1. Removal of snap rings. Number 2. Compressing of clutch pistons, most often using special tools. Number 3. Removal of bands, if equipped. Number 4. Removal of solenoids. Number 5. Disconnecting and labeling of all interior wiring. Note the condition of all of the following so that any parts needed can be ordered. One-way clutches. Clutches and bands, if used. Accumulators and springs. Trust washers. Snap rings. Servos and springs. Planetary gear sets. Final drive assembly on transaxles. And Shift and pressure control solenoids. Save the old gaskets to match with the new ones. Clean all parts in a solvent that removes all gum, varnish, dirt, and grease. Rinse clean parts in hot, running water, and then immerse them in clean mineral spirits or a similar solvent to separate water from the parts. Finish cleaning by blow drying with low pressure, filtered, compressed air. Once clean, inspect the valve body and its components for the following: scored, cracked, or burred plugs and valves. Broken, bent, or worn springs. Scored or rusted bores. Plugged or restricted fluid passages. Bent or rusted separator plates. Stuck check valves. Bent manual valves. And cracked castings and distorted or nicked mating surfaces. Shiny areas on valve lands indicate friction between the spool valve and body. On steel valves, these areas can be polished carefully with 400 to 600 grit wet or dry sandpaper, crocus cloth, or polishing stone. Take care not to round off the edges of the valve lands while polishing. Aluminum valves cannot be polished. If a valve needs polishing, the bore it rides in also requires servicing. Polish the valve bore by inserting and turning loosely rolled wet or dry sandpaper or crocus cloth. Attach a piece of crocus cloth to a slotted dowel rod or bent welding rod to reach the bottom of a deep bore. Rewash and dry any valves and bores that are polished. After polishing and washing, lubricate the spool valve with ATF and slide it into its bore to check fit and operation. The valve should slide back and forth freely of its own weight. Caution: do not use cloth shop cloth as lint can cause a sticking shift valve. Refer to Figure 136-11. A special puller is usually specified to remove aluminum pumps from automatic transmission transaxles. Alignment pins, or arrows, are used to properly align the gasket and pump on the case during reassembly. Refer to Figure 136-12. Checking a transmission pump assembly for wear using a feeler gauge. Compare the reading to factory specifications. Tech tip: a picture is worth a thousand words. During disassembly, note items such as direction of snap rings front and back and clock position of the snap ring openings. Instead of taking numerous detailed notes, use a digital or phone camera and take pictures as the unit is being disassembled. Then the photos can be reviewed during reassembly to be sure that everything is installed in the same position as it was when it was disassembled. Refer to Figure 136-13. A straight blade screwdriver can help remove the snap ring that is used to retain the frictions and steels in the clutch pack. Clutch packs. Begin disassembling a clutch pack by removing the snap ring that holds the discs in the housing. Remove the snap ring from most clutches by prying one end of it free from its groove with a small screwdriver. Then, slide the screwdriver around the drum and the snap ring removes easily. See Figure 136-13. Friction disc inspection. Wipe each friction disc with a dry, lint-free cloth and inspect for the following: excessive wear, cracks in the lining material, charred, burned, or glazed lining surface, pitting, flaking, or scoring, chips or particles embedded in the lining, scoring or burns on disc serrations, and distortion and or warping. Friction discs tend to discolor in use, which is normal. However, if any friction disc shows signs of one or more of the defects above, replace the entire set. Replace the set of friction discs if they do not fit freely in the clutch hub serrations, grooves, or if there is wear or damage to their splines. Steel disc inspection. Clean steel discs by wiping with a dry, lint-free cloth and, once clean, inspect each disc for the following: uneven heat discoloration, surface scuffing or scoring, drive lug damage, and distortion and or warping. Replace the entire set of steels if you note a rough surface or there is uneven or spotty discoloration on any of the discs. Also replace steel discs if they do not fit freely into the clutch drum tang notches. Clutch piston removal and inspection. To remove the snap ring holding the clutch piston in place, compress the piston return springs using the proper compressor tool. Always check service information for proper procedure. See Figure 136-14. Tightening a nut onto the shaft draws the fingers of the thule down, compressing the spring, and allowing the snap ring to be removed. After removing the snap ring, release and remove the spring compressor, then remove and inspect the return springs. Return spring inspection. Coil springs should be straight and provide proper pressure. Check for broken, distorted, or collapsed springs. If one or more of the springs requires replacement, discard them all and install a complete set of new springs. Note: individual return springs are often color-coded as to their location. Make note of the color and number of return springs for ease of reassembly. Some coil springs are permanently attached to their retaining collar and can only be serviced as a set. There will be vacant spring seats in some applications. This allows the manufacturer to use the same piston but vary the number and location of springs to precisely match spring return rate to the requirements of a particular vehicle. In these cases, reinstall return springs in exactly the same location. Tech tip: smooth is in, rough is out. It used to be common practice in the automatic transmission business for the rebuilder to use sandpaper to roughen up the surface of the steel discs to achieve a good clutch apply. This is not true now. Sanding creates grooves and sharp peaks that decrease the oil film between the paper on the friction plate and the steel plates. There should be a thin oil film between the paper and the steel to create a holding bond and make it possible for a clutch pack to apply and release thousands of times without wear. Therefore, for consistent shifts and a long-lasting transmission transaxle, do not sand the steel discs. Steels are often replaced with new steels along with new friction discs during an overhaul. Refer to Figure 136-14. A compressor tool is usually necessary to compress the springs of the clutch piston to remove the snap ring. Clutch piston inspection. Remove the clutch piston from the hub. The drag of the piston seal can make it hard to remove the piston from its bore. Should this be the case, apply low-pressure compressed air through the hydraulic apply hole in the housing to force the piston from its bore. Caution: always use care when using compressed air, as it can be very dangerous. Use regulated air pressures set to a maximum 35 psi, or 240 kilopascals, and a rubber-tipped nozzle. Always wear safety glasses when checking valves and actuators using compressed air. Do not use high air pressure and be careful to avoid pinching your hand or dropping the piston as it pops from its bore. Once you remove the piston, check for the following: cracks or scoring in the piston bore, nicks, scores, burrs, or signs of wear on the piston, seal damage, and fluid passage obstructions or restrictions. If the piston contains a check valve, make sure it is functional. Remove and discard seals. Refer to Figure 136-15. The ring gear has damaged gear teeth. This entire planetary gear set must be replaced because the damage also affected the gear teeth of the planetary pinion gears and the sun gear. Refer to Figure 136-16. Pinion gear and play can be checked using a feeler gauge. Hubs, drums, shells, and planetaries. Clutch hubs, drums, and shells transfer the torque load to the various combinations of planetary gear set members to provide different gear ratios. Hubs, drums, shells, and planetaries are hard parts that do not wear out under normal conditions, so they can be reused unless they are damaged. See Figure 136-15. Carefully check drums and shells for cracks before reusing. Wash with solvent, dry with compressed and filtered air, and then inspect. Planetary gear sets should be checked for proper pinion gear and play and compared to factory specifications. See Figure 136-16. Reassembling an automatic transmission transaxle. Clutch assembly. Before assembling a clutch assembly, soak all friction plates in automatic transmission fluid. This should be done for as long as possible to allow the friction material to absorb the automatic transmission fluid. Check service information for the exact order of assembly and assemble each clutch pack. Refer to Figure 136-17. All clutch packs should be checked for proper clearance. Here, a feeler, or thickness, gauge is used to check the clearance to make sure it is within factory specifications. Refer to Figure 136-18. Checking clutch pack clearance using a dial indicator. This method is used when a feeler gauge cannot be inserted to check for proper clearance. Air pressure checks. Reassembly of an automatic transmission transaxle involves assembling the various sub-assemblies, such as a clutch pack clearance, before final assembly is completed. See Figures 130-17, and 136-18. If the clutch pack clearance is not correct, often one clutch pack component is a selective member. The selective component could be any of the following: reaction plate, pressure plate, thrust washer, and snap ring. After making the needed changes, the clearance should be rechecked to be sure it is within factory specifications. An air pressure check uses air to apply clutches and/or bands to verify that components such as clutch packs perform correctly. The air takes the place of the ATF under pressure when it is being used in the vehicle. Air checking a unit includes the following steps. Step 1. Use the factory service information regarding where to air check and what the results should be. Step 2. Use a rubber-tipped air nozzle and regulate the air supply to about 35 psi, 240 kPa. Step 3. A typical result is a dull thud or clunk heard when air pressure is applied to a clutch pack or servo piston. See Figure 136-19. Step 4. When the air pressure is removed, the unit should release. If there is a seal leak, air can usually be heard hissing from around the seal. See Figure 136-20. Refer to Figure 136-19. Air testing a clutch pack before installing it into an automatic transmission or transaxle. Refer to Figure 136-20. Both the inner and outer seals are checked when air testing a clutch pack assembly. Bushings. All bushings should be inspected and replaced if necessary. See Figure 136-21. One-way clutches. Always double-check that all one-way roller clutches are installed correctly. The transmission will not work correctly if the one-way clutch is installed upside down. Check service information for the exact method to use to ensure that they are installed correctly. See Figure 136-22. Refer to Figure 136-21. A typical brass bushing used in an automatic transmission. Refer to Figure 136-22. Service information states that this one-way roller clutch should be installed as shown. Check by holding the outer race so that the inner race is free to rotate counterclockwise as shown. Refer to Figure 136-23. A special clamp makes removal and reinstallation of this clutch pack easier. Special tools. Special tools are often specified by the vehicle manufacturer. These tools allow the service technician to disassemble and reassemble the transmission transaxle more easily without harming the unit. See Figure 136-23. Pump assembly. Follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended procedures. For example, a special clamp is often necessary to properly assemble a pump. See Figure 136-24. End play checks. Perform all end play checks during assembly to ensure that the unit was properly assembled and that the proper internal clearances are achieved. See Figure 136-25. Refer to Figure 136-24. Using an alignment clamp to assemble both pump halves. To ensure proper alignment, many experts recommend lightly tapping the outer edges of the pump while tightening the clamp. Refer to Figure 136-25. A dial indicator being used to measure the end play of an input shaft. If the end play is not within factory specifications, the unit may not have been assembled correctly. Tech tip. Avoid using red assembly lube. Assembly lube is used during the reassembly of automatic transmissions. If red assembly lube is used on seals, it may look like an automatic transmission fluid leak when the transmission gets hot and the lube melts. If you use blue, green, brown, or clear assembly lube, then the color will immediately identify it as assembly lube. See Figure 136-26. Many transmissions have been disassembled because the service technician thought that the red liquid dripping from parts of the transmission was automatic transmission fluid when, in fact, it was only assembly lube that melted and ran when the transmission reached normal operating temperature. Valve body checks. The valve body can be checked using a tester especially designed for this purpose. Adapters are available for all commonly serviced automatic transmissions transaxles, and the pressure gauges that are part of the tester are used to monitor the movement and flow through the valve body. This unit also heats the automatic transmission fluid so that the valve body is being tested under the same conditions as will be occurring in the vehicle. It is easier to repair a fault with the valve body than wait until the valve body and the transmission are installed in the vehicle. See Figure 136-27. Caution, it is critical that the valve body be torqued in the proper sequence to the correct specification to avoid warpage which could cause a sticking valve. Refer to Figure 136-26 Blue Assembly Lube. Refer to Figure 136-27. A valve body being tested on a valve body tester. While it takes some setup time to adapt each valve body to the proper hoses, this type of machine can find valve body problems before the transmission transaxle is installed in the vehicle. Tech tip. Change the bolts and washers. When reassembling an automatic transmission, always replace the pump bolts and sealing washers to avoid the possibility of a leak. A leak in the area of the pump can cause quite a headache for the technician because the entire assembly must be removed from the vehicle again to fix it. Refer to Figure 136-28. An electric motor-driven dynamometer being used to check the operation of a 41TE transaxle. Flushing the cooler and torque converter. Purpose. All vehicle manufacturers recommend that the automatic transmission fluid cooler be checked for proper flow and, if not, then it should be replaced whenever a replacement or overhauled automatic transmission transaxle is installed in a vehicle. Most vehicle manufacturers are recommending to flush the cooler. Cooler can be flushed using special machines that pulsate ATF through the cooler. Solvent can be used to clean the varnish that flushing with ATF will not remove. Always follow the instructions that come with flushing machines or solvent containers. Note: at least 2 quarts of ATF should flow through the cooler every 30 seconds or the cooler and/or the lines are restricted. See chart 130:1 for the placement of the cooler outlines on common transmissions transaxles. Dynamometer testing the automatic transmission transaxle. A rebuilt automatic transmission transaxle can be tested on a dynamometer powered by an electric motor. See figure 136-28. And a gasoline engine. See figure 136-29. Most dynamometers are equipped with pressure gauges to provide a load so the operation of the unit can be checked before being installing in the vehicle. Reinstalling the automatic transmission transaxle. Double check end play. After the unit has been reassembled and all end play checks indicate that the unit is properly assembled, reinstall the automatic transmission transaxle in the vehicle. Many experts recommend that new transmission transaxle mounts be installed to assure proper driveshaft drive axle shaft angles. Note: new mounts are particularly important if the unit was leaking automatic transmission fluid. The ATF can soften and deteriorate the rubber used in the mounts. Refer to chart 136-1. The location of the cooler outlines varies by vehicle and transmission transaxle. Check service information for location of the cooler lines on the vehicle being serviced. Torque converter installation. Before installing the unit into the vehicle, flush the torque converter with clean ATF. Carefully install the torque converter onto the input shaft, being sure to fully engage the following: pump gear, stator splines, and turbine splines. Refer to figure 136-29. A gasoline-powered dynamometer being used to test a rear-wheel drive automatic transmission. Refer to figure 136-30. Check the linkage for proper adjustments so that the shift interlock works correctly and the PRNDL is aligned with the transmission range switch. Transmission transaxle installation. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow when installing an automatic transmission transaxle. Following are the steps often specified. Inspect engine core plugs and replace as required. Check and replace as needed the rear crankshaft seal. Check and correct as needed the dowel pins, dowel pin holes on the back of the engine block. Check the engine to transmission mounting surfaces. Carefully install the unit and use a torque wrench to torque the bolts to the bell housing. Attach the torque converter to the flex, drive, plate. Reattach all electrical connections, linkages, and cooler lines. See figure 136-30. And lower the vehicle and add enough ATF to properly fill the unit. Consult factory information for the recommended amount, to avoid under or overfilling. Refer to figure 136-31. An auxiliary automatic transmission fluid cooler installed on a Chevrolet pickup truck used to haul a car trailer. Road test. Fast learn the PCM, TCM. Start the engine and check the level of the ATF. For an electronic transmission transaxle to operate correctly, a fast learn or a quick learn should be performed with a scan tool before the vehicle is driven. This action will get the adaptive settings close to what they should be and will help prevent damage to the unit if this procedure is not done. In addition, Chrysler has a torque converter burnishing mode that can be activated on the scan tool for some models. Road test procedure. Carefully test drive the vehicle, checking for proper operation and shift points. Hoist the vehicle and check for any possible ATF leaks before returning the vehicle to the customer. Tech tip. Install a transmission cooler. An auxiliary transmission fluid cooler is recommended by most experts to help keep the temperature from becoming excessive, especially when towing or performing other heavy-duty vehicle operation. See figure 136-31. Most experts recommend that the cooler be connected so that the hot fluids travel through the auxiliary cooler and then through the factory cooler and return to the transmission transaxle. Using this method of plumbing allows the radiator to warm the transmission fluid in cold weather as well as provide additional cooling of the fluid when the fluid temperature is high. Tech tip. If the torque converter is dropped, replace it. Torque converters include plastic thrust plates which are very strong under the compressive forces of normal torque converter operation. However, if a torque converter is dropped, Even from a distance of less than 6 inches, or 15 centimeters, the thrust washer can easily break, ruining the torque converter. Even though torque converts look strong and feel heavy, handle them as if they are glass. Transaxle removal. Step by step. Step 1. For safety purposes, remove the negative battery cable before starting the removal procedure. Step 2. Remove engine bay cross members that may interfere with access to the transaxle fasteners. Step 3. Remove the air intake and air filter assembly, which is covering the transaxle in this vehicle. Step 4. Install a support for the engine. Step 5. Safely hoist the vehicle and remove the wheels. Step 6. Remove the retaining nut from the drive axle shaft. Step 7. Disconnect the lower ball joint on the front-wheel drive vehicle to allow removal of the drive axle shaft. Step 8. Remove the drive axle shaft from the transaxle using a pry bar. Step 9. Disconnect the cooler lines from the transaxle using a line wrench. Step 10. Unbolt the torque converter from the flex plate, then remove the transaxle mounts. Step 11. With the transaxle supported on a transmission jack, remove the retaining bolts from the bell housing. And Step 12. Carefully remove the transaxle from the vehicle. 6T70 transaxle disassembly and assembly. Step by step. Step 1. The GM 6T76 forward speed transaxle was a joint venture with Ford and therefore is similar to the 6F50. Step 2. A unique thin torque converter is used to help reduce the overall length of the transaxle. Step 3. After removing the torque converter, the housing is being removed. Step 4. The final drive assembly is exposed after the housing has been removed. Step 5. The final drive is easily lifted out after the housing has been removed. Step 6. Note the tapered roller bearing used in the final drive assembly component. Step 7. Note the tapered roller bearing used in the final drive assembly component. Step 8. Under the side cover is the valve body and integrated solenoid assembly. Step 9. Under the plastic electrical solenoid assembly is the valve body assembly. Step 10. Removing the valve body assembly. Step 11. Turning the assembly around, showing the end cover. Step 12. Removing the end cover shows the clutch packs and planetary gear set. Step 13. Removing the first of 5 clutch packs, 2 driving and 3 holding. Step 14. A typical clutch pack in a 6T70 showing the selective thickness steel used to determine clutch pack clearance. Step 15. A view down into the case where multiple clutch packs are found. Step 16. The output planetary gear set with 4 pinions used on 6T70 units. The 6T75 version uses a 5 pinion carrier and a reinforced case. Step 17. Reassembly of the clutches. Check service information for specified clutch pack clearance. Step 18. Notice that the final drive is equipped with tapered roller bearings and this means that the preload must be adjusted. Step 19. A special set of spacers and blocks used to determine the preload needed. A feeler gauge is then used to measure the clearance. Step 20. Following the procedure and service information, the designated thickness of shim is selected, which is placed under the bearing race in the bearing packet. Step 21. The selective shim and race before the race is driven into position. Step 22. Driving the race into position using the specified driver. Step 23. Reassembly of the valve body, being sure that all fasteners are tightened to factory specifications. Step 24. The solenoid assembly is replaced as an assembly only if defective and all the fasteners need to be torqued to factory specifications. Review questions. Question 1. What are the typical operations needed when disassembling an automatic transmission transaxle? Question 2. What are two methods of checking a clutch pack? Question 3. Why is it important to perform an end plate check of an automatic transmission transaxle during the reassembly process? Question 4. Why is it important to flush the automatic transmission fluid? Cooler when a rebuilt or replacement automatic transmission transaxle is being installed in a vehicle? Question 5. Why should assembly lube not be red in color? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Slide hammers or special pullers are used to remove what component? A. Extension housing. B. Filter. C. Pump. D. Rear seal. Question 2. Technician says that the sharp edges of spool valves should be rounded, using 400 grit sandpaper. Technician B says that all valve body parts should be cleaned and then dried using low pressure, filtered compressed air. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 3. Friction discs should be what before being installed? A. Sanded. B. Soaked in ATF. C. Surface roughed up. D. All of the above. Question 4. Technician A says that the torque converter should be separated from the flex, or, drive, plate before removing the automatic transmission transaxle. Technician B says that the clutches should be installed dry when replacing the frictions and steels in a clutch pack. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Air pressure checking is used to test A. Clutch packs. B. TV adjustment. C. Vacuum modulators. D. Governors. Question 6. Technician A says that all friction and steel plates in a clutch pack should be replaced during an overhaul. Technician B says that the automatic transmission fluid cooler should always be flushed when a unit is rebuilt or replaced. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. What part must be replaced if dropped? A. Pump. B. Torque converter. C. Extension housing. D. Pan. Question 8. Clutch pack clearance can be changed if not correct by using selective A. Piston. B. Pressure plate. C. Snap ring. D. One of the above depending on the unit. Question 9. How much transmission fluid should flow through the cooler? A. 2 quarts every 30 seconds. B. 1 quart per minute. Circa 2 quarts per minute. D. 2 pints per minute. Question 10. Why should red assembly lube be avoided? A. Can harm friction discs. B. Too slippery. C. Clogs filters. D. Looks like an ATF leak when it melts. End of chapter 136.